Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180.
Midday 180.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
Got John McClain here in the 1 o'clock hour from the Houston Chronicle. Phone lines are wide open. We are getting ready for the NFL draft. There are plenty of NFL stories out there. If you want to ask about your favorite team, give us a call. You can ask John McClain your NFL question right now at 615-737-1045. 737-1045. As we say hello to the man in black himself, John McClain. John, welcome in.
Thank you, guys. I was at the first Astros home game last night, the first time in our history that the team has welcomed back a World Series champion and unfurled a World Series banner, and the team is so loaded with pitching and depth and talent. I feel about the Astros the way you guys are feeling about the Preds, the way they put together the best record in the NHL.
I think you feel a little better about them than we do. From what I saw, it took 58 seconds for them to actually get the curtain down over the banner. I was wondering if the Titans AV guy was running the show down there, because he's got a history of gaffes like that. What was going on? They couldn't get it down.
They had to, and you know, they rehearsed that several times. I went there 3 hours early just to soak up the atmosphere, because there was a buzz for obvious reasons. And so they have, it's like the banner covered up the championship flag, really is what it is. And they had to use a leaf blower. They had to use one of those things.
Did you see it,
where
John?
You
it was
reach up
fun.
And cut leaves with. Then had a guy climbing a ladder while everybody's waiting and waiting. And they had their cell phones shooting a picture. But it was it just heightened the anticipation.
I thought that guy was going to end up swinging from it, looking like a pirate hanging from the mast on a ship. It's pretty funny. I know the expectations are huge there for the Astros, and it's going to be another exciting season. I hope my team stops them, but they're busy dealing with snow right now.
Your team may never play. It's raining in New York right now.
Yeah, it's just
John.
Awful.
I love your post on Twitter about your history with the Astros when you were at the ballpark last night. I really enjoyed reading through that, and it's a fascinating history. You go way back with that Astros organization.
First game in their franchise history, they played the Cubs, and they beat them. And Bobby Shantz, a 36-year-old lefty, was the winner. And Ramon Mejias, 31-year-old outfielder who bounced around, hit two home runs, and they beat the Cubs. And it was downhill after that for a decade. And I was sold. The first time I can remember a baseball game, I was about 6 years old. They played two All-Star games back then. One that went to the owners and one that went toward the pension of the ball players. So I remember watching Willie Mays get a triple and run on an old black and white TV that belonged to my grandparents. And I was just sold on baseball. And when I was little, my goal in life was to play center field for the Astros or quarterback for the Cowboys. And as I mentioned,
seemed like more of a catcher.
Then I discovered girls. In middle school, and my career was over.
That was the end of a lot of our careers in sports, that's for sure. And John, I know you also wrote that there was a time where you thought the best job in sports reporting was being a beat writer for a Major League Baseball team.
Chad, when I was a kid in Waco, the sporting news was the Bible of baseball. And it came to a little grocery called Zippy's Grocery. And every Wednesday, I would ride my bike there, and I would save the money I made from helping my dad mow the yard, and I would buy the sporting news, and I would read it. And this was when I was probably 12, 13, and I would read it, and especially in spring training, I would read these writers, didn't know who they were, But I knew what they wrote fascinated me, and it was intoxicating, captivating, and they had these datelines from places I'd never heard of, St. Petersburg, Fort Lauderdale, and at the time, I didn't know it was Dunedin. I thought it was like Dunedin, and I read what it was like for them to come down from the north and the Midwest and go to Florida, and they just painted such a picture. I wanted to do that as a player. And then as I started, and when I first got into this business, I was a sophomore at Baylor when I was hired full time at the Waco Tribune Herald. And my goal was to come to the Houston for the Chronicle of the Post and cover the Astros. And when I came down here to cover hockey with Gordy, Marty, and Mark Howe, which was the biggest story in hockey at the time, transcended sports. And, you know, what an incredible experience that was. My goal was to still, when our longtime baseball writer retired, to take his place and cover baseball and travel the country. And then all of a sudden I got sent to an Oilers training camp in 1977, and my life and career changed forever.
It's a young person's beat. Much as it's a young person's game. John, uniforms unveiled tomorrow night. There is a chance that Love Ya Blue, Oilers Blue, Titans Blue, is reduced to an accent color in what they're going to do going forward. I imagine that color was omnipresent in your life for quite some time and came to have some meaning in terms of who you identified it with.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame Amy Adams Strunk if she took it out totally. Excuse me, it's a different team in a different city, and whatever they think is going to be best for the Titans, I think they should do it. You remember originally when Bud kept a little Columbia blue in there, there was a little controversy about it. I still like the throwback jerseys. I know fans there would like the throwback jerseys to be the Titans jerseys. I'd like to see, and I know all the Oilers would like to see, the throwback jersey. And they did it, what, one time where they wore the total Columbia blue jersey? And but I don't, for whatever they do up there, I think that's great. You do that for the fans, so they'll buy them. And so I can't wait to see. I retweeted your tweet today, Paul, about, what was it, two more hints about what they could be.
And I've shared one of them now, that the helmets are going to be navy blue.
And I love navy blue. That's my favorite color.
A lot of the fear here with the navy blue helmet, starting with our David Reed, our producer, is that it could be too similar to the Texans.
Well, there's a lot of navy blue in the NFL, because a lot of red, a lot of white. And the one thing I like, I've never liked the Columbia blue with anything other than red. Like Columbia blue with navy blue, it doesn't go. And so I think it's great if that is their predominant color.
John McClain is on with us. You can jump in, ask him your football question at 615-737-1045, 737-1045. John, as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft, what do you think the Browns are going to do with those two high draft picks?
Well, we all know they're going to take a quarterback with one. It depends on who. They're having top four guys in Cleveland to visit. Now, they could say they have zeroed in on Sam Darnold right now. They could change it to Josh Allen. In my sixth mock draft this last week, after spending that week in Orlando, I changed my first pick to Josh Allen. But I change things around a lot, and I may change it back to Darnold. The key is, what are the Giants going to do? Do you, with Eli Manning being 37 years old and not playing that well and not having a lot of talent around him, and them talking about trading his most talented teammate, and thinking that you're not going to be back there and having a new general manager, do they take a quarterback? I think they do. A lot of people have them taking Bradley Chubb because they traded Jason Pierre-Paul. But to me, if you've got a chance to take a quarterback, you better do it. They were trying to act like in NFL meetings, well, they really do like Davis Webb. Well, they didn't give the guy a shot to play when they benched Eli Manning. So I'm thinking they're going to take a quarterback. But if they don't, I think they will trade out of that spot And as far as Cleveland's other pick, the media up there is trying to, boy, they're trying to connect the dots. They say John Dorsey is not going to draft the running back in the first round because Ted Thompson didn't do it in Green Bay and because his predecessor, Ron Wolf, didn't do it in Green Bay. So, therefore, John Dorsey's not going to do it here. And I totally disagree because Saquon Barkley is the best prospect in the draft, and you guys know. There's nothing like a great running back to take pressure off a young quarterback, and it's such an ideal scenario. Even the Browns won't screw it up.
PK, you had a question for John.
I did have a question for John. I want to know what just talk us through your interaction with Mike Vrabel when you arrived at his table. I did film this, Stephen. If you could look back and find this and retweet it from Midday 180, would have been last Tuesday. A video of Vrabel and McClain. John, talk us through what people will see here.
I came over and I sat down to talk to Mike about several things, and he saw my credential, which the league sent and used one of my old pictures. And it was like a conversation piece. So many people were giving me a hard time about it. And Mike had never seen anything like it. And he grabbed it and started looking at it. Next thing I know, you're leaning over the table shooting it. So I had to pose it just right. And you tweeted it while Vrabel was giving me a hard time. And of course I retweeted it because, it's a pretty good picture.
The photo's at least 30 years old. Is that plus or minus 30 years?
Now, let's see. That one would have been about 25. The one I carry in my wallet was our first ID badge to get in the Chronicle. My first 7 or 8 years, you didn't need a badge. And all of a sudden in 1983, they said, go get your picture made. And so I kept that one in my wallet just because when I pull it out, people are always, oh, my God.
John brought out this wallet, Chad, and I was scared of what might fall out of it.
Yeah, I remember a long time ago when people learned who Jeff Fisher was, people saw that picture and said, why do you carry a picture of Jeff Fisher in your wallet?
Dark mustache, thinner face.
One time I showed it to Fisher. He was in his office at the Titans facility, and he was sitting, and I was sitting in front of him. I said, hey, check this out. People say, I look like you. And he looked at that picture, and he looked at me, and he looked at that picture, and he looked at me, and he leaned back and said, man, I'm going to shoot myself.
615-737-1045. Love that interaction with Vrabel and John McClain.
Vrabel is very funny.
Let's go next to another John. John up on line one has a question for John McClain. John, welcome in.
Hi, John. How you doing? How you doing, guys?
I'm great, Darren. You know, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I want to revisit what you talked about last week about the new rule about the helmet-to-helmet contact. And I'm trying to figure out how this is going to work because it seems to me that if you're throwing people out in the middle of the game, given the limited roster and position players that you have in each position, it strikes me that it's going to upset the competitive balance way too much. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it, but it would make sense, wouldn't it, to actually review the films that were the plays that were in question, and then maybe suspend people on a Tuesday so teams can actually, you know, make an exemption so they can pull somebody up from the, you know, with practice squad or sign somebody for that 1 week so you have some competitive balance. Because I don't see how this is going to work. I'm sure they're going to try it out during the preseason, but it seems to me like it's there. You have a 90-man roster theoretically, but during the regular season, I don't see how that's worked. Have you had any feedback or anything about what you see on this issue?
Oh, yeah, John, a lot of defensive players don't like it. And I will point out, every time there's a radical change that may affect the way a player tackles or hits, they cry to the heavens, but they adjust. The key to this is they want to take the head out of football. They don't want the helmet to be used as a weapon. They want it to be used, as Goodell said, a protective device. Now, why is this? Because of money. They want to get sued, and they don't want to lose more money. Every decision is made on money, and let's be honest about that. I think players will learn to adjust. I think the first time it happens, it'll be a humongous controversy. And they don't think it's going to happen very much. They'll teach it. They'll coach it. They'll explain it. But right now, they don't even have the exact language down about what constitutes an ejection. They're supposed to have it down by the time the NFL has its summer meetings in May in Atlanta.
This is the problem here, though, from a fan standpoint, from a media standpoint, but certainly from a player standpoint. And look, you announce the change, but you can't illustrate it. How is there not a video ready to roll right after this comes through, which was a secret kind of thing, but passed, I believe, unanimously, to say, look, after the catch rule, they said, here's a catch. This is now a catch. This is still not a catch. This is a catch. But they did not have such a video for this, where I immediately want to see, all right, well, show me instances where something that was not a foul before is a foul now. And
I think they
never
will.
Mind me. I think the players deserve that quickly. There's a whole mystery hanging.
They do have a video, and they'll once they get the language worked out, they'll show examples of what in the past would be an ejection today, but it won't be before the meetings in Atlanta because they're still working on the language.
I think you got to get it all done at once. I don't like the drawn out process.
They'll get it done. Officials will come by and talk to them when they make their rounds, and then they'll teach the coaches, and the coaches will have to teach the players. And using video will be the best thing they have as far as teaching.
I wonder if the Seahawks might be a little bit ahead on this one, because they've really taught a rugby style tackling, and Pete Carroll has talked about this a great deal. I wonder if his voice will be in that video at all, and if the Seahawks start off a little bit ahead.
That's an interesting premise, especially since they've gotten so many coaches. I wonder if the ones they brought in, if they can pick up where those others left off.
Eric in Nashville is up next with John McClain. Eric, welcome to the show.
Yeah, John, I don't get to talk to you too much because of work and everything, so I listen when I can.
I'm just glad you got a job.
I'm off a few days, so that's why I'm listening to you now, John. But, John, the thing that I want to talk to you about and just ask you is I heard a report a little while ago, earlier this morning, that Mike Florida was reporting, and I don't know if WEEI contacted him or he contacted them, that report about Rob Gronkowski, that the Patriots or somebody that he went down to New England where they were shopping, I don't know what, was apparently an April Fool's Day joke that WEEI did. It's just, to me, it's like, a lot of times you don't know what to believe anymore because you've heard over the last few weeks or few months about rumblings between Belichick and Brady, and now reports of where Belichick wasn't getting along with Gronkowski. It's just, it used to be you would never hear any stories like this coming out of New England. I just wanted to get all your thoughts about all this stuff that's lately going on with them over the past few weeks. Good talk to you. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot for listening, Eric. Rob Gronkowski's unhappy with his contract. He's got 2 years left. He's way underpaid based on his greatness and his contribution. And so he's not doing any talking. He's letting others talk. When Danny Amendola signed with Miami, he sent a text that said, be happy, be free. And people read into that. He's envious that he's free and wants to be. Well, it's a money issue. Amendola got a better contract than the Patriots were offering him from the Dolphins. It's at the root of all evil in the NFL is money. It's always money. And a lot of media up there having reports he's unhappy with the Belichick way. It doesn't work with young players anymore. Well, Gronkowski's 29 years old. He knows what Belichick's all about. He's got multiple Super Bowl rings, and he's got Tom Brady, and I'll be shocked if he's traded.
Let's go back to the phones and Chris, who's up next with John McClain. Hey, Chris.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Great.
I wanted to ask John what he thought about the Titans' new addition at linebacker, Will Compton. Do you see him as more of a role player? I know he's off of an injury, but two seasons ago he had 100 tackles. Do you see him as being an Avery Williamson type, or can he play all three downs? And do you think that affects who we take in the first round?
I like the fact that they didn't go out and spend a lot of money on a replacement for Williamson because they lost him. I think Compton's a role player. You never know in that system playing for Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease. He might be ideal for it. If he can stay healthy, he might be a productive player. But you can't count on that. And in every line, in every mock draft I've had, and I'm about to do my seventh, I'll still have the Titans taking a defensive player, specifically a linebacker who can rush the quarterback, because I know how important that is to Mike Vrabel, him being a former player at that position. But Compton is not going to be the answer to the problems based on what he's accomplished so far. Maybe that'll change.
I think he's a run-down guy who, you know, could work as a rotational guy with Jayon Brown if that's what they wind up needing. You know, I'm imagining them getting an every down linebacker, inside linebacker type at some point here as well. Maybe as early as the first round if they landed Evans or Van Der Esch as opposed to an edge guy. It's pretty funny, and I don't know if I told you this, Chad, when I first caught wind that Compton was coming for a visit, I wrote something that I got from a scout that he was kind of the stereotypical smart player, you know.
And he had a funny response.
And he then responded several times with other cliched things that white guys generally get branded
Showed
with.
That he's a smart guy.
Yeah, that was very clever and played along. I think he probably is just what they look for in terms of personality. I don't think you're going to want him to turn and run and chase a Todd Gurley or Rob Gronkowski very often.
Phone lines are open if you've got a question for John McClain, 615-737-1045, 737-1045. John, just in general, we got into this discussion earlier. Are you ever surprised about, with the amount of money that different networks pay to leagues, and specifically the NFL, that those networks that are paying the billions of dollars at times, they allow themselves to be bossed around by the leagues that they're paying money to? It seems like the power dynamic would shift to where the network paying the money would tell the leagues, hey, we're giving you this much money, we're going to do things our way, but it never seems to happen that way.
Never, and the reason is they're all worried that they will lose their rights. When Fox stepped in under David Goren, Ed Goren and David Hill, everybody thought they were crazy to pay that kind of money. NBC said no. NBC backed out. It was a tremendous blow to NBC. They all lose money. The reason they do it is because they promote their other shows where they make a fortune. They wouldn't be paying it if it was going to cost everybody their job. So they're always afraid of what the future might hold if they don't cave in to what the NFL wants.
615-737-1045. You got a football question for John McClain. Jerry Jones is at it again. He is dump ticket master. He's going with SeatGeek. He has become the modern-day Al Davis in thumbing his nose at the league and telling them, I'll do what I want with my team. How do you think this latest thing is going to go with him now that he's dumped Ticketmaster, which is the official partner of the NFL?
I think eventually you'll see somebody besides Ticketmaster be the official partner, because usually what Jerry does, he's considered a renegade, going against the grain, but then eventually they all step in line behind him because they've figured out he knows how to make more money for them. And I think it's only a matter of time. When he originally came into the league and he wanted to do different things, everybody blasted the heck out of him. And now a lot of his ideas, the league has implemented, and the owners are laughing all the way to the bank.
You may have been asked this by these guys last week when I wasn't around, but refresher course, at least for me. Xavier Suafilo, now part of a competition, it seems, at left guard for the Titans, where they've also signed Kevin Pamphiel from Tampa Bay, who John Robinson was familiar with. Quentin Spain signed his tender today, and Suafilo, obviously, Vrabel was familiar with to a degree. I know he did not meet expectations as a second-round pick in Houston. Tell us what you think we can expect play-wise and personality-wise.
X was in a no-win situation from the day he was drafted, the first pick in the second round of the 2014 draft. Now, I couldn't have complained about it because I had him going in the bottom of the first round. But he got off to a slow start because he was from UCLA. But they hadn't finished school, so he couldn't participate in off-season program. He came into camp. They played him at tackle as well as guard. That slowed his progression. O'Brien admitted later he made a mistake. So he just got off to a slow start. His second year, he came in out of shape. He got hurt. He was in so much trouble with O'Brien so far in the doghouse, he was eating Alpo. And then he became a starter. And this past season, their offensive line ultimately was the worst in the NFL, but he started every game at left guard, and he had five left tackles next to him. So if you've got five left tackles starting next to you, you're not going to play as well as if you just had one, like he did the year before with Dwayne Brown. And when Deshaun Watson, a mobile quarterback, was playing for six starts, their offense was third in rushing and only gave up 2.4 sacks a game. No, none of us were complaining about the offensive line. Then all of a sudden, Watson goes down. They get exposed with Savage, a quarterback, and then the offensive line was terrible. He needed to go somewhere else. I think being reunited with Vrabel is good for X. He's a good guy. He works hard. You guys are going to like get to know him and talk to him. And if he's not going to start, he can at least be a valuable swing guard. But he didn't play as bad as everybody here seems to think last season.
Let's go to Jack up on line one, who's got a question for John McClain. Jack, welcome in.
Thanks for taking it. I just wanted to touch with John about the helmet and the tackle rule. I started playing high school ball with leather helmets and no face guard, and we had to learn how to tackle the right way. As helmets have evolved and become more protective, they've also become much more of a weapon. And the college that I've played for has developed a mobile virtual player. It's a pretty cool thing where it's a guy that, you know, it's a mobile device that you can actually practice tackling live without getting hurt, and learn the proper technique. Some of the NFL teams have at least looked at it. Do you think that more teams will eventually?
There are different kinds of helmets, and players get to wear what they want. Six players last year for the Texans wore a helmet that was a little larger, and it was supposed to keep them from having concussions, and two of them had concussions and went on IR. So they're constantly experimenting and looking and testing new devices that they hope will help. And they tell them, keep your head up. Always keep your head up. Well, what happens when you're on a goal line and the ball's on the one and you're in a short yardage? Every collision usually involves the helmet, specifically too with the running back diving over. So that's what I can't wait, because it says, the rule says anywhere on the field. That means it can be a running back. And when guards fire off to hit linebackers in a 3-4, or they fire off and hit tackles in a 4-3, it's hard to not hit helmets.
John, is it fair what Jim Mora said about Josh Rosen? And I guess the real question is it fair for executives, for GMs, for quote-unquote football people to be concerned with a prospect that has to know the why when they're given an order or they're told to do something, like Jim Mora described Josh Rosen at UCLA being that type of player, someone he described as and has been described as a typical millennial?
Well, they're all millennials. I mean, they're all millennials. Yeah. I think Jim Mora did him an injustice, because now it's a constant source of speculation and reports that, what is it? It kind of means like he doesn't focus on football. He doesn't accept coaching. He doesn't accept authority. Could it be Jim Mora just didn't do as good a coaching job as he should have?
Well, it sounds like he's blaming Josh Rosen for him getting fired.
Or is there's a theory out there, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, that he's doing him a favor by dissuading the Browns, because there was talk early that Rosen didn't want to go to the Browns.
I'd rather go to the Browns than the Jets. The Browns got more talent and a front office now that knows what they're doing. I think that Jim Mora is going to end up on TV mainly because of what he said. Now he's trying to tell everybody Rosen is the best player in the draft. So I'm guessing old Jim's going to be in a studio this year, and a lot of it's going to be because of what he said about Josh Rosen.
He's certainly outspoken.
John McClain joins us every Tuesday and Friday here on the show. You can follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, always a pleasure getting to talk some football with you. And this week, some baseball also. Again, I love the stories on Twitter of your connection to the Houston Astros. And congrats on what I know was a special day for you yesterday at the ballpark.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, guys. Have a great week.
Talk to you soon.
John McClain with us every Tuesday, 1 o'clock hour, and then every Friday as well to close out the show with us.